Welcome to the Committee of the Whole meeting, April 9th, right? We will go ahead and take the roll call.
Trustee Corsini.
Here.
Trustee Carchi.
Here.
Trustee Vasquez.
Here.
Trustee Conti.
Here.
Trustee Hennig.
Here.
Trustee Gibbs.
Here.
President Medusa.
I am here. Okay, very good. I must tell you.
No public comment?
Okay, just checking. I'll make sure I do it right. Okay, the next up is we have the discussion on the 2019 Village operating budget. And it looks like Eric is going to take the lead. He's up there already on the podium. So go at it.
All right, here we go. We got a presentation tonight we'll walk through. Obviously, we've made this interactive in the past. If you have questions, feel free to pepper them at me or at the staff as we go through it. Again, just the walk through the agenda. We'll walk through the presentation. We'll talk about individual funds and departments in terms of next step. Tonight at the board meeting, we will have the official public hearing that's required by law. It gives the public opportunity to speak to the budget. That'll take place here a little after 7 o'clock. And then we'll have everything queued up on the 23rd for approval. That will include the budget ordinance, any changes to water and sewer rates, the compensation plan. We'll talk about ambulance fees in a little bit. There'll be an ordinance on that. And I think in the pension fund, and then any amendments that we make to the budget will include as well that night. I think that covers most of it, the big stuff. All right, highlights in the budget document. Of course, I'm not shy in telling you that the budget document is award-winning and continues to be. It also includes our five-year capital improvement plan that we discussed in January, highlights of all performance and activity measures. So not only measures that we measure against performance, are we hitting certain things within a certain time frame, like response times and things like that, but then oftentimes how often we do things, how many trees do we trim, how many citations do we issue, things like that. And then your goals as well are folded into that budget, and then each department has its budget. Has its goals as well. And is the thing I always point out and remind everyone, what are the two main drivers of the budget? Number one are the capital spend that we talked about in January, and then also your salaries and benefits, the large portion of which are set by contract. So certainly not to diminish tonight's discussion, but the major spends for the budget are really somewhat determined already by our previous discussion. So I always put that out there. Your budget, again, just a little over 70% of it is salaries and benefits already. We are a service organization. So in terms of the general fund, 18 versus 19, so last year's budget versus this year's budget, we're looking at balancing the budget again this year, doing the same thing we did last year in terms of using making a strategic decision to use reserves to balance our budget. So what we look at doing is looking at those one-time expenses that we'll encounter, and instead of trying to fold that into the ongoing operating costs, we'll separate those out and use our fund reserve to do that. If you look this year, that those non-recurring expenditures have increased since we passed the budget last year. The main driver of that has to do with the Madison Street Lutheran Family Service purchase, which was around $1 million. For next year, we're looking at about just a little bit over $200,000 of one-time expenditures. And that comes mainly from the comp plan. We put in about $56,000 to complete the soft costs. And then we've targeted $100,000 in comp plan implementation. I don't know what that is just yet, but we wanted to put something in the budget because I'm pretty sure that there's going to be recommendations and things that come out of the comp plan that you may want to start on right away. So we at least want to target some dollars in there for that purpose. And then we also have an additional transfer into the North Avenue TIF to pay for those startup costs, which are going on right now and will continue on into the next fiscal year. Again, just to reiterate, all those TIF costs are reimbursable once increment starts coming into the TIF districts. Looking at general fund revenues, you can see what the major differences are on the major categories between this year and last year, and we'll dig into those here in a little bit further detail as we move on. So revenues for 2019, again, if we look at property sales and income tax, that's our main driver for the general fund. That accounts for almost 70% of your revenue. Property taxes have increased by 2.1%. That's the CPI for this past fiscal year. It'll be the CPI, the identical CPI for next year. So that will be the increase you'll see proposed again for next, essentially around next December when we adopt the property tax levy. We're anticipating a slight increase in sales tax due to more inflationary issues than anything, and that's also with a full year of revenue from Fresh Thyme included. We do anticipate some decrease to the income tax. Again, those are not numbers we stab in the dark in. The Illinois Municipal League provides us guidance on income tax, personal property replacement tax. What am I missing, Joan?
Use tax.
And so we take the IML's advice on those and put that into your budget. And then one of the main drivers for additional revenue next year will be building permit revenue. So with some of the planned developments coming on board, our folks at, and Lisa, there's like looking for Lisa there, and she's actually right there. Concordia University has some things. I don't know if there's anything else you want to mention regarding the building permit.
Sure. We tend to be really conservative. If it's an approved plan development, we try to kind of guesstimate where the revenue may come in, but even then we're still conservative. Anything that's on the horizon, just so that the board is aware, especially the new members, we don't include that because we just want to balance the budget as it is, not necessarily waiting on projects that haven't even been approved yet. But yeah, Trusheim Hall at Concordia has been incorporated, I think, into this fiscal year. Next fiscal year is the build-out of the fourth and fifth floors of the residential hall. The Concordia board has approved that. They're now talking about some additional projects, but those weren't included. But yeah, there's a lot of building activity going on. So right now it's 1101 Bonnie and Concordia, I think, are the main drivers of that permit revenue.
Okay.
And that's not even taking into account all the wonderful things that are on the horizon. So.
Right. Very good. In terms of fee changes, we incorporate any changes to things such as your solid waste stickers, and those are previously negotiated, our composting fees, and an increase in the waste tags. Again, a lot of that's a pass-through on the expense side, but we still go ahead and budget it on the revenue side. The one thing we are going to recommend for next year is a increase to the ambulance fees. So we haven't increased those in about 5 years or so. And so we've started to fall off a little bit on the average, not even the average, I should say, the 75th percentile of what those fees are. And so we're going to recommend a increase to that. And then one other thing to point out, there are no new fees proposed in the general fund. I think one thing we want to do, though, for next fiscal year, so we're in this position, when we're having this discussion next year, is just do a comprehensive review of all of our fees. That's not something we have done recently. So anything from anything from building permits, parking tickets, compliance tickets, all those are things we haven't really looked at comprehensively even since I've been here. And I know those fees haven't been adjusted. So we want to get a general sense of where the market is, what other towns are doing, and recommend any changes going forward. And that's something we'll study in the upcoming year.
Eric, what is the ambulance fee right now?
It depends if you're ALS, BLS. So we have one fee for basic life support and then another fee for advanced life support. I don't care if you.
Yeah, there's a BLS fee, there's ALS-1 and ALS-2. I don't have the exact numbers.
No, I guess the better question was,
yeah.
Is that generally reimbursable by insurance? I'm just thinking
yes.
About like
yeah.
Senior. So how about this covered by Medicare?
A portion of it is covered. Medicare sets a fee for those different classes, and that's all we can recover for that.
I've had to pay years ago. I had to call the ambulance and
just the voter collection for the portion that's not paid by insurance, and are we
yes.
Successful with that? Do we need to look at a new contract?
They go to collection. There's some that we just waive, if they're residents and that kind of thing. But non-residents, we generally go to collection for those. They're fairly good with their collection, so.
We can get you some more stats on that.
Yeah, I can get
you some exact
numbers
in terms of the collection component to it.
I mean, at some point we just drop them. I mean, it's not like we're.
Yeah, I mean, even a collection agency reaches a point where they say, well, we can't squeeze this out of the lemon, so any more out of the lemon. But I think your question in terms of looking at potentially an RFP for the So we use a third party that administers the ambulance billing for us, and that's something we haven't revisited in a while, so that's something we could do in the upcoming fiscal year. So ambulance fees are really the only thing we're going to propose for a change for next year. Outside of that, there are, again, no other fee recommendations. General fund expenditures, you'll see in some cases there are some decreases this year. In fact, the overall decrease to the general fund is around almost close to 6%. And the benefit driver really comes back to health insurance, which has been manageable and modest, and then our pensions, which we'll talk about here in a little bit. So breaking it down by category, looking at personal services, the union contracts call for a 2.5% cost of living adjustment for police and fire. Public Works has taken less. If you recall, on their contract, they opted for shifting more of their money into their health insurance as opposed to the wages. It all nets out to the same roughly, but they will actually get a little bit less next year. And outside of personnel changes in the budget, there is nothing proposed at this time. On the benefit side, again, the major drivers of the increases are for the pension fund. So the police pension contribution will go up about 2%, $28,000, and the fire pension will go up nearly 12%, or $140,000. And we'll spend a little bit more time on the pensions here in the future of this presentation. We'll talk about that in a little bit greater depth. Our health insurance increases, again, are tending to beat market average. So if you look at our HMO, we're at around 3%, PPO is around 4%, dentals at 6%, so those are pretty good increases, all things considered. On the contractual side, again, this is where our IT support, our refuse, our dispatch contribution, our insurance premium and deductible, that's where all those are attributable to, and you can see we're seeing a slight decrease in that for next year. Close to 4%. Commodities, again, not a huge budget in terms of the overall spend for the village, and just under 1% of an increase. Most of the, you saw in the budget, increases and decreases somewhat carried itself out. Things like gas, oil, those are things we budget with the same assumptions for all operating departments in terms of what those increases look like as well, and you'd find that in this category. So again, looking at the three-year projections and what that looks like, revenues over expenditures, again, we're looking at about $200,000 in one-time expenses for next year, and that's where we're going to use reserves for fiscal year 19. 20 and 21 have similar expectations, and we'll have to again work hard to address those issues here in the upcoming years. So breaking down each budget by department, and this kind of looks at goals and accomplishments for the past year, so we'll just kind of walk through these quickly. On the administration side, we've in fact tomorrow the crews will be here to begin the efficiency and modernization project on the second floor. We'll have one of those nice IDOT signs that says pardon our dust. We've done really a lot, and I'm really proud of the staff on the communication side, and really the staff and the elected officials, everything from the village president and her message in the e-news that we've done a better job with, Facebook in general, and just doing general notifications. On the emergency communication side with Facebook and some of the police and crime alerts, I think we've done a very good job. Certainly there's always room for improvement, and we're learning a little bit as we go, but I think it's been a valiant effort so far, and even the website. John and Lisa did a majority of that work, and I'm really proud of what we saw, and I think we've really, again, it's as the village president and I often talk, it's that axe that you constantly grind. It's a mindset that you develop in the organization, but and that we continue to reinforce. That being said, I think it's worth pausing for just for a second, saying, hey, we actually did some good work this year and we're proud of it. Started the comp plan process, and that's underway. Lake and Park, that continues to move along. And as we look towards next year, wrapping up the comp plan, doing an IT strategic plan and security audit, those are two things we've already started to look at. Update to our building codes, that's something that we haven't looked at in a long time. When we started to take a look at, it's about time for some revisions there to update to the more latest and greatest codes. North Avenue, Madison, obviously we have action on that tonight, as a matter of fact. Bring Home Lake and Lathrop and Lake and Park, looking at a facade improvement program that may primarily be within the TIF districts, but certainly we could look at something village-wide to assist existing business owners. And again, the technology, the communication, as we continue to improve our customer service, is some of the main goals for next year. On the police side, I have to hand it to Jim O'Shea. I think you got promoted January 2nd, and it was a busy month in January from the get-go, and has done really a great job at instituting these crime prevention meetings and engaging the community in that. And there are more to come in that regard. And again, using our electronic media as best we can, Facebook, et cetera, to work on our community outreach. And so I'm proud of the work our police officers and our leadership have done on the police side. Moving forward, we're still working on but refining, trying to do some crime mapping that integrates information from our CAD system into our GIS system. So that's some cross collaboration we're having between police and engineering and GIS. Again, working on our communication, engaging with residents, speaking to them about issues and concerns that they may have in the community. And of course, continuing to double down on our training, not just for things that are required, but taking things a step further. We have one of our sergeants graduating from the Staff and Command Program, which is, I've mentioned before, somewhat of that gold standard for command training. We had one sergeant complete earlier this year, and we'll have another one lined up for later this year. So we're very excited about that. On the fire side, again, a lot of new things going on. We had, obviously, our new chief promoted this year. We put a new fire engine into service. We continue to work with the Citizen Corps on AED and CPR training, which they've been great in terms of helping the village out, implementing programs that drive down our ISO rating. So that's that insurance service office rating that helps drive what the cost for your homeowner's insurance is in River Forest, or really any community for that matter. So again, implementing programs that help reduce that rating is important and something that we continue to look at. Public education and training continue to be one of the main things that the department looks at. We look at home inspections, preparedness drills, things like that. So engaging with residents as much as we can to assist and help and educate in those efforts. Again, the fire department's also helping us on the building and fire safety code updates, which is important. And then also working, of course, always to work on improving our response times and also our records management system. We've got some new administrative assistant help in that department that's helping us in terms of making some steps in that regard.
Eric, where do we rank compared to other communities on this ISO? I've never even heard of it before. Mm-hmm. The ISO rating, is that something we should be publicizing to let the residents know that, you know, this is a way that we're saving you money?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's a you know, well known.
I've never heard of it before.
Yeah, it's, well, if you're in manufacturing or any type of quality control, and, it's a big thing to have.
Were we at three or level three? Three.
Yeah. So one's the best, right? Ten's the worst. Or yeah, right. Well, that would be the worst. I mean, that's so three is good. Three, I think, is somewhat of an average, maybe a little bit above average. But we can get you some more information about that. And I think,
even if it's relative to other communities,
yeah,
I mean, obviously, right. if we're like everyone else, and there's no point in publicizing it. But in fact, if we're doing better than Oak Park or Forest Park,
yeah,
like people benefiting the residents.
Okay, how about Oak Park?
I'm not sure what Oak Park is. I'm guessing that they are.
Yeah, and I know they're going through a review on that
yeah.
right now. Right. All right, Public Works. One of the things we've talked about previously, I'm very proud of John and Mark Giannopoulos on the Public Works side, is our tree inventory. So you can see this live where we've done the work in our GIS system if you go through the community portal. So we started to inventory all of the village's trees by conditions, by species. And that really does two things for us. One, it just helps create that main database or inventory of our assets, which trees are a main part of. And then two, that becomes a driver of our bid spec for when we go out to bid on the tree the tree trimming. So most of the tree trimming is done by a third party. They'll come in and do that. So now we've got this great database, print it off, and give that as a spec to the contractors that come in and give us more of a apples-to-apples approach, refined approach to what their number is in terms of their bid work. So that's been great work. They completed the installation of the water main on River Oaks in Auvergne. Gale Alley is being reconstructed towards the end of this fiscal year as we look at our new alleys, and we continue to use green infrastructure, trying to get as much of the stormwater back into the ground as much as possible. And again, we've really done a good job, I think, on the public works side in trying to communicate with our residents as it relates to our construction projects. Jeff Loster on the engineering side really does a good job at publicizing and putting out for the resident all the different work that we're doing. I think in the past it's been difficult to navigate to find that information in the website, so this year we'll have a better shot at getting it out there in the public, but the content's fantastic. On this year, we've got Chicago Avenue resurfacing between Thatcher and Harlem, so there's some of that you'll be approving on the agenda tonight. That's going to be a big project for the village. We've got to continue to work with our village's GIS system to improve efficiencies across the organization, and again, looking at sustainable projects in our annual capital improvement program, most of that being driven within the alley improvements. Highlighting briefly the Water and Sewer Fund. The Water and Sewer Fund continues to operate in the black, which of course is a good thing. This is an enterprise fund. So at the end of the day, this is a fund that will generate a quote-unquote profit for the village. And whether you look at it on a cash basis or just looking at it at our net position, we continue to move forward in a positive fashion. I remember starting here 7.5 years ago, and one of the challenges we had was the Water and Sewer Fund, and Joan has done a fantastic job with working with the operating departments to make sure that fund is in good shape, which it is. Highlights in terms of projects ahead of the Chicago Avenue resurfacing. We're doing a water main project on Chicago Avenue. One of the things that broke my heart was when we had some emergency repairs on Division after we resurfaced it. So we're trying to do what we can here. We don't have the funds to replace all the water main, but the one that's been giving us the most concerns or fits or breaks is west of the CN tracks. So we'll be going ahead and replacing that this year. We've also have money, of course, set aside for sewer relining, as we typically do, and point repairs for certain sewers that may be too far gone for sewer relining. And then also, as you see every year within our budget, we do a lot of work at the pump station. So the pump station over on Berkshire is working in concert with the elevated water tank on the south side of town, drives and puts out all of the water for the community. And so making various improvements to that on an ongoing basis is important. If you haven't had a chance to go out there, I would certainly encourage you to meet with Mark or John to get a tour. It really is an amazing facility when you take a look at it all. Water and sewer rates, and so here is a breakdown. The City of Chicago informed us that they're raising their water rate by 1.54%, which is, as they're saying, is the CPI, and so that will take effect on June 1st. So we pass that rate directly on to the residents, and we raise it based on the wholesale rate, not the total rate. And so we break that down. If you look at the next slide, we always break that down separately. So we have what it relates to raising the Chicago portion of it, and then any increases to the village's portion. So you're looking at about a 27 cents. If you look from 6117 to 6118, the total cost will get you at about 11 cents, 11.02 per unit.
Eric, do you have a ballpark of how much water we lose between Chicago and the residents? So in other words, what uncompensated water we're getting?
Yeah, Jim, maybe John, if you don't know.
Right now, it's approximately 12%. Yeah. So that's been the case. It's been between 10 and 12% over the last several years.
And that the problem is the water line's going from the street before it gets to the meter?
Well, you know, there's some leakage in the system constantly. That's just a matter of trying to find that. So we do leak surveys every year, and then we find the leaks and we repair them. So that could be part of the issue. It's just a matter of chasing it down, that and the amount of water main breaks in general that we get.
Yeah, so the main drivers of that are usually hydrant flushing. So you've got that, unauthorized water use, water main breaks, and then any other general breaks that are within the system. So that's why every spring, like around this time, we have a third party come in, and they go ahead and run their equipment through the entire town and find leaks wherever they can. We replace them. Sometimes there are leaks. Sometimes there are leaks on private property where it's between the beep box and the person's meter. And so then we, you know, show up on your front door and say, hi, Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so. We have a water main. If you have a leak on your service line that you need to repair, you'll need to go ahead and fix it.
So the residents are responsible for water from the parkway to the before the meter?
Yes. So from the B-box, which is the little round thing in the ground, that the valve that you can turn the water off, they're responsible from that B-box to their house. Mm-hmm. And then we're responsible from the box back to the water main.
10% still seems awfully high. 10 to 12. I don't know why. I'm surprised at that.
Don't we still do our water loss report annually? Or? Yes. And then there's a percentage that's just like a natural, what is it, like 2 to 3% that's just, yeah, you know, you figure in that what? That's.
I mean, I would think 2%.
Right.
2 to 3% would be
but
natural.
That has come down a lot from where we were before.
And I think we were at like 15-20%.
Yeah, we figured out some meter issues, I think. Yeah. And
but included in the annual survey, is that stretch from the V-box to the meter?
Well, that's an estimate.
Yeah. Well, you mean in terms of the survey? Yes. Yeah. So basically, and I'm not an expert on the technology, but it's like listening for however these guys do it. They basically can put headphones on. They can, like, almost like a sonar thing, hear the water loss. And so as they drive down up and down the street, they'll get pings on it, and then they can go and get out and try to investigate it further. And so that eventually may lead them to a service line.
Is this like to say this is the best approach to this? Because 10% is a lot now, the way that Chicago keeps increasing the cost.
Yeah, I mean,
are there better ways to do it, I guess, is the question.
I think there's some seepage, too. So just because of the age of the mains, they expect you to have more loss when you've got an older water system. And there's water probably seeping that we can't hear. So we catch the bigger leaks, but there's probably seepage going on all over town that we really can't necessarily pinpoint. We have spent a lot of time on this, trying to work on it, and it has gotten better, but
there's no best practices that we're using. All the best practices
age of infrastructure too.
Understand the leakage of age of infrastructure. So are we saying that because it's so old and everything else we're doing hopefully is preventing the 15-20%, but everything else we're doing is just, you should just expect the 10%.
I think, isn't Mark getting some kind of devices that he's going to put throughout town now?
Well, we do have that.
Should we get George Jack go door to door?
We have our own equipment.
So we used to just contract out this leak survey and only do that. But we bought our own equipment within the last couple of years. So we go around from time to time and hook on to hydrants and valves and listen if there's a suspected leak in the area. You know, do that ourselves. We're also demonstrating some equipment that hooks onto valves, and then they have a cellular signal. So we have 8 of them right now in the system that we're demoing, and we can look at a website and see if they pick up any leaks remotely, and then we can move them around the town.
If it's not,
but we haven't purchased them yet. We're just demoing
this leak. I mean, yes, you're not gonna, that doesn't address the seepage issue.
It would allow us to hear the leak and then fix it right away. Right.
No, but an actual leak as opposed to seepage.
Well, seepage is just a small leak through a pipe. So, yeah, if it's really small, then we wouldn't be able to hear it.
But it's also your bill. I mean, when you do this water loss report, it's the actual physical loss of water, but it also looks at your billing as well, right? And we did see some issues with meter readings that were not appropriate because the size of the meter wasn't inputted correctly, so you may be dropping a digit, and instead of, you know, billing somebody for 100 gallons, you're billing them for 10. So there's, like, lots of things that go into that water loss number, which I think we've addressed a lot with changing meters.
We actually use our village monthly reads now for, that's what we use for our billed water consumption.
So there's a lot of things.
Yeah, I believe there. It's just that I think, I would say 5-10 years ago, you know, 15-20% loss, we'd say, oh, you know, I mean, it's a lot, but we could afford it. Now it's like, you know, gold because of the price that we have to pay Chicago and continue to pay Chicago. So, I, you know, this might be, I know you're on it, but it sounds like this
is. Yeah, Mark just too had all of his inventory of meters checked against ours in the billing system, and there were some differences, and most of it turned out that the numbers were needed to be changed on one side or the other, but there was really, there's nothing. We're trying. We spend a lot of time talking about this and working on it.
What about our the meters, the Chicago meters coming in? Have we had a check of those?
Okay. Yeah, I can find out.
Yeah, because sometimes those could be off as well.
Okay.
So.
But the inspection of the reservoir that we're going to do this year, we're going to go in there and actually see if the reservoir is leaking this year as well, and the elevated storage tank. So if there's any leak in the reservoir, hopefully we can find that, you know, if that's a hidden problem.
Your goal is, yeah, it's never going to be zero.
No, it's never going
to be. If you get to 5%, that
totally
would be, like,
agree with that, Carmel.
Huge.
Right. It would never be, even if it's 7, even if they take 12 to 7, I mean, that's
below double digits.
Yeah.
The other thing we had looked at a third party, came in for a meeting not too long ago, and they have worked with other towns who the water meters aren't been updated or haven't been updated in a while. That was that presentation we had from Siemens. And basically, they were doing performance measurement contracts, would say, we can guarantee you so much savings in your system by upgrading these meters on this program. At the end of the day, they actually passed on us because they didn't think there would be enough there to do that. So we have looked at that in the past, but I know Joan and John and Mark have done a good job in terms of updating that as well. So the point, you know, we'll get you some more information on that. I know we're within this IEPA acceptable range, otherwise the state comes knocking on your door, but it doesn't mean we can't go back and look at it and give you some more information as well.
Do the village buildings have meters?
Yeah.
Just curious.
Yep. All right,
that number goes into that water rate report too. You have to report the usage too.
Right. Yeah, everyone has, even our friends at the, well, they pay for it, so I guess I was going to say there's no service that we don't bill. So everything has a meter. I mean, even the what do you call it? Isn't the water fountain at the, like, park districts, don't we have, like, meters in the
park district?
Yeah, park district. Yeah, exactly. So So looking at a three-year projection, again, as I mentioned, both from a cash investment and net asset growth, the water and sewer fund is in good shape. We need to continue to move in a good direction there. That's a three-year projection and lookout. So pension funds. So we want to spend a little bit of time on this, and we'll have a graph as well that we want to talk about. So the Finance Committee met earlier this year, and one of the things they looked at was having an update on our pension funding policies. And so one of the things the village was looking for was a consolidation, if you will, of those policies. So you had the police and fire basically on two different sets of assumptions, and so we asked for a consolidation of that. And the fire department was, or I should say, it's not really the department, the fire pension fund was willing to go down that road. The police pension fund was not. So we may reach a point here very quickly where the assumptions and the policies are going to differ a little bit from what the funds prefer and then what the village prefers and recommends. And so that will get wrapped up into our budget discussion. In fact, we may even want the Finance Committee to bless that before our next board meeting, just to, you know, to do that. So, you know, here at the end of the day, the pension funds are moving in the right direction. They're gaining. We're going uphill instead of downhill in terms of our net asset growth. But as you'll see in a graph later on, the challenge of all this, of course, is most of our dollars then are from the property tax revenue. Are really being eaten up by the pension funds. And so when you look at the budget and say, wow, Eric, your contractual services are down 5%, that's fantastic. Well, it's really done out of necessity. We don't have the luxury to say we want to do more things because more of our dollars are headed in this direction. So if you look, just to recap, the contributions are still expected to increase 6% for next year, most of that on the fire side. The pension fund on the police side has been performing better than the fire fund. The fire fund fired its investment consultant and now is using the same consultant that the police department, or strike that, the police pension fund is using.
Yeah, so what's that total? 2.7 something, right? Total pensions contributions, 2.7 million. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And our tax levy is 7.5, somewhere in that range, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you have a third of the pension, I mean tax levy going towards
pension.
Right.
So when people talk about, well, you're increasing your tax levy by 2.1%, well, that's just trying to keep up with the rising costs. So.
Yeah. I mean, your pension, in the last, I can't remember what it was, 6 years or 7 years, the pension contributions have doubled.
Right.
Yep. All right. Moving ahead, motor fuel tax. Most of that money this year will be spent on resurfacing. We've got the Chicago Avenue project. And then we also have our normal street resurfacing project. And then what we've done this year to try to give ourselves a little bit more flexibility, we'll be taking $50,000 out of MFT for street maintenance. So most of our street maintenance, which has been crack filling, street patching, that pavement preservation product that we use, that's all been paid for out of general fund. This year, just because with these ongoing pension obligations, trying to bring this all together, we took $50,000 out of MFT. They do let you use motor fuel tax for maintenance as well as, and really at the end of the day, the resurfacing in terms of the state is considered maintenance of the street. And so we're just taking that a step further. And so when we get those additional dollars out of the bond fund, where we did the debt service extension base earlier this year, this allows us to help balance and manage all that together. SURF fund, again, this is equipment and vehicles. You know, this is consistent with what we talked about out of the capital improvement plan from earlier this year. Nothing remarkable from our earlier discussion. Again, that includes new vehicles, new police cars, cargo van, sewer truck, some of our equipment on the police side, including a pole-mounted radar, the compressor for the fire department, the alerting system, the chipper, things like that. So again, this is not anything new from what we talked about earlier. Capital improvement fund, so take out vehicles and equipment, and what's left is everything else. Again, these are our capital improvements for street resurfacing outside of the MFT fund, commuter parking lots, streetscape improvements at Village Hall and Public Works, all the alley improvements that we're doing. And if you look here, you can see some of those highlights in terms of the Village Hall improvements, improvements to the garage, our IT spend. You can see we're almost tripling our alley improvements for this year, trying to spend a lot of that money to get as much of that done as possible, making some improvements to our traffic signals in town as well, and then our infamous parkway pockets, which we will try one of these days, trying to get some more stormwater out of the system and into the ground. Economic development, we're on the tail end of closing out that original incentive we had with Mid-America for Town Center. I'm hoping that gets wrapped up in the next fiscal year and we can close that out. We talked about the North Avenue TIF and putting some additional dollars in there. And then the one thing we will do more than likely as we approve this budget, we'll have a trailer, that's the new hot term, trailer bill, trailer ordinance that will have an amendment that will include the purchase for 10 Lathrop and then any other items that you feel inclined to include as well. Looking out in future years, again, we highlighted this a little bit earlier, and this is where I'm going to skip ahead to the graph. And really what you're seeing here, and I think this says a lot, is this is where your property tax spend has been. And so you see the green portion, which has been the general fund, the blue is the police, and the red is the fire. And you can see if you go back to 2011, and again, this isn't a long period of time, this is about 6 years, you can see where those were back in 2011, then go back to the other end in 2017 and see how that green has shrunk and the blue and red has increased. That is the challenge that we face as a staff as we put these budgets together and try to be as creative as possible and make strategic decisions because of that challenge that we're having. And again, let's be clear, this is the right thing to do. This is our obligation. We need to make these contributions for these obligations. But as governing body, you need to be aware of where those dollars are being spent and how it's basically putting more and more pressure on the general fund. Insert the discussion about fees for next year. Not that I'm looking to raise fees on people, but A, we want to see where we are in the competitive landscape, and we're going to reach a point where we're going to have to do a little bit more to keep up with this obligation.
So was there a period when we were dramatically underfunding the money? Are we here now because of dramatic underfunding, or?
I know, and Joan, you can weigh in on this. I would say my initial reaction is no. You had basically a recalibration of the assumptions from the state back in 2011.
Right.
When we were allowed to reduce our contributions, we did. That was during the time period where the village was suffering a bit financially. So we did go down to the state minimum for funding. But since that time, we've done a lot of work to try to bring our contributions up, and we've developed the pension funding policies, and we're really trying to bring it up. And as we've been making these higher contributions, the hope was we would get in a better position and eventually it would level off. And it just keeps going up.
And that was my next question.
That was going to be my question.
At some point, does it level off?
Yeah. Right. So this time, the last time we did the pension funding policy, we did that five-year transition plan. And we said this time, no transition plan, because we really need to be realistic about where we can be. The village can't afford these big increases every year anymore. At that time, we were having a lot of economic development. Our revenues were going up. We're not seeing that as much anymore. So we really need to be at a level that we can afford on an annual basis. So that's why we sort of wanted to take a relook at these pension funding policies and develop something that we could fund and use going forward and afford. So that's what we did. We had to make a few tweaks to the plans. And as Eric said, the fire pension fund was agreeable to it. The police pension fund sort of wanted the best of every little element. So it didn't really, at the meeting, we really didn't come to an agreement. What we've included in here is the funding them on the same. Assumption. So both 7% interest rate assumption and the same 90% amortization of the unfunded accrued liability level dollar. So that's what will be coming back to the Finance Committee for a recommendation to the Village Board and then ultimately to the Village Board for approval. So changes to those pension fund policies. But we are not alone in this. I mean, I go to IGFOA meetings and stuff, and I just went to their annual pension meeting. Other towns are just as frustrated as we are, just been increasing the contributions, hoping to get ahead and not getting ahead. So,
And part of it, too, is it's, the rules have changed as well in terms of what the folks at GASB and all the regulatory agencies have to say about this. So one of the things that Joan and I just talked about is on 4/30, they're going to take a snapshot and determine that to be your return on investment. And so as you notice, guess what the market's doing right now. So the market's been gangbusters. Now it's going to go down. It'll probably correct itself at some point. But they'll only measure that snapshot on 4/30/18.
That will determine our contribution that's going to be in 2019.
The other thing that they've done that the actuaries and the regulatory agencies have done too as well is that in the past we relied on a mortality table from, 1972 or whatever. It was something in the 70s. And they finally updated it, and rightly so. I mean, it was definitely old, but now they've updated it again, and they're trying to stay on top of this stuff. So, it's a combination of factors to answer your question.
Do we have more retirees than we have active duty for either police or fire?
Probably. I can't answer that.
I'm sure there were. Yeah.
How many more, Chief?
Well, we went over. I think that even amount 4 or 5 years ago.
And part of the
issue. It's only a few openings. It's not completely.
Right, but I'm saying though, so now you've got more people drawing off than are paying in.
Exactly.
And to your question about what were they doing before, I think the focus was always, well, this is what we're supposed to put in, and you know, we're not looking at the unfunded portion of what we really want to try to right. make, you know, headway on. And that's why when we focused on that 2011 study and, you know, getting these groups together was to say, okay, we know what our current contributions are, but how do we chip away at that unfunded percentage so over time, yeah. you know, that number is going up so right. that we're actually funding these at the level where, you know, if we had to dissolve this pension fund at a certain point in time, you're going to have enough money to pay everything. And so I think that's the shift in yeah. focus, as well as the unfunded portion that we are really actually ahead of the game on. Mm-hmm.
But are you
with
saying
with our policy?
But are you saying because it's so untenable to get there that
well,
we have to
why,
shift again?
Well, that's saying? Why you know they've changed it to you're supposed to be 90% funded
right.
by 2040.
Right.
You know, so that's what we're moving towards, mm-hmm. and just the way we've decided to fund these policies yeah. by putting more money into it, you're actually putting more into that unfunded portion so that's growing
right.
with the market and hopefully, you know, increasing that funding level, which is what everybody's rated on. It's like, how much is your pension funded at? Even though that's really not the number that we should be looking at. It's more of the health of the fund and how, you know, over time, and it's a long range process. So it's not like, you know,
right.
because
right.
the market might be doing worse one year than the other, we need to just be looking at it in a long term fashion. So.
And yeah, I mean, you're correct. I think there's, and even the pension attorney has said this when we had our last discussion a while, maybe two meetings ago, that what we have done is somewhat unique, that a lot of towns haven't gone to the step to sit down and figure it all out collectively. So just because you have a higher percentage funded doesn't necessarily make you a better, a healthier fund, because
right.
what direction is that fund heading into, right? And so the frustration we have is all these snapshots are done in a certain moment in time, and yet we've done all this work to move the needle forward, and yet on 4/30/18 we probably have less than stellar investment returns because of the market, unless things turn around. I mean, mm-hmm. it could all change on a dime too, but you know, we continue to make a lot of progress and continue to grow the net assets, and I think that's what's important. All right. Looking out future years in the general fund, again, these are just some, you know, general takeaways, and here's that key stat about the 72.2. That's how much that is allocated into salaries and benefits. 70% of our workforce is unionized. We're actually coming into the last year of our contracts, so towards the end of this fiscal year, middle of this fiscal year, we'll go back into negotiations with our unions, and then as we mentioned before, contractual services then makes up about 22% of the village's budget. Property tax levy, again, that's a 2.1% for next year as well. As we've talked about before, as we look at economic development initiatives in town, this becomes a driver for that, because we want to create, what are our goals that we talk about all the time with property taxes and property value. This all ties together here at the end. And that's that. So, again, I want to thank the staff for doing a great job. Lisa and Joan have done a fantastic job putting this together and leading the budget team. This may be Joan's last budget. It isn't official and isn't in writing, so I don't want to say anything necessarily, because I'm holding out hope.
We don't
right,
accept
exactly.
We don't
no.
accept it.
No, but in case we don't have another opportunity, I think it's important to point out that Joan's been the backbone of the finances for the village for the last 7.5 years. And I'll say this to my dying day as a village administrator. If your finances aren't in good shape, it makes
yep.
everything a hell of a lot more difficult. And there are some people on this board that know that from past history. And so the Jones leadership really turning this thing around has been a ton of work. And she deserves the lion's share of the credit for making that happen. So.
Great. Eric, can I have one last question? You might have, maybe I missed it. When will we take the new triennial assessment into consideration in our kind of calculations?
Oh, you mean for property taxes?
Yeah,
next year.
It's 2017.
Is it 2017?
Yeah, so it's in our estimates, but it's like a low estimate in our estimates. So we should be getting that.
This summer?
The edits coming out a couple weeks, so probably in the summer, June, July, somewhere in that.
Do we anticipate going up?
Oh, yes.
Okay, big time.
Probably 20% at least. I mean, the assessor even said that,
24, right.
The new assessor or the old assessor?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Can I ask a question on, I know library is not within our purview, but what's the capital expenditure that they're going to make for $400,000 plus?
I can double check with the executive director.
Building improvements?
Yeah, it's all, I know they've talked about renovation and trying to provide some more functionality to their building. Okay. I know they've got money in reserves to do that.
And then with respect to the alleys, I know we talked about the alley at Bonnie Bray, thank you. And we talked about, you know, possibly having the developer kick into some of that. Are we just budgeting basically the entire expenditure in the event that we have to do that on our own? And then there's going to be some flexibility in that?
Correct.
Okay. And then these other green alleys are really not specific, other than you'll come back to us at some point if we are going to do additional work to get those approved.
Well,
approved meaning actual.
I mean, we would go out to bid,
right,
and then bring those bids back. But unless something's said here today or at the next meeting, I mean, we're moving. I mean, that's the thumbs up to say, okay, this is good. Go ahead and do them. So let me put it another way. I would not, based on past practice, I would not come back to you for permission to do the alleys unless there was something significant had changed, either for how much they cost in terms of our construction estimate, or there was a revenue issue or something along those lines. All things being equal, the alleys are getting done unless you tell me no.
Yeah. Okay. And I think we talked about, you know, we take the ones that are the worst off.
Right.
At the level six and a half.
Yeah, right, exactly. Right. So one of them was on the south side of town, one of them was north of Lake. Yep.
That's a bombing roll.
Yep.
Eric, were you able to figure out that difference with the Chicago Avenue?
I sent that off to John. Did you and Jeff, close the loop on what you thought?
Were you talking about the difference in the IDOT form, the 352 versus the 450?
Yeah, compared to what we had budgeted.
Okay, the 352 was the consulting engineers number that they came up with. Our budget number was higher. We just anticipated it being higher, so that's the difference. They pared down the numbers and came up with that, so we took their recommendation.
Okay.
That's the gist of it.
So 350 reflects more of an updated figure based on the consulting engineer.
So more than likely to be about that, we're just allowing.
Right, right. So it will be closer to that number. That number is still likely to be higher than the final number because IDOT recommends that you put a higher number in there so you don't have to go back later.
Right.
This summer.
Thanks.
Well, we will. Yeah.
That will help 90% of our people.
Okay. Yeah. Well, they'll go ahead, the water main and the street resurfacing. Yeah. Oh, yep. Oh, yeah. No, I get it. So, and what will happen, too, when these projects start, we start big picture and assume kind of a worst-case scenario, and then as the engineer designs it, pares it down.
Okay, is there any further questions or comments? I'll just say thank you to the administration and to Joan. I know this is it's a very well thought out, very detailed document, and I'm proud of River Forest and our Board of Trustees and everyone that affects us here at the Village for obviously looking at every piece of revenue we can, but more importantly to keep our expenses intact so we can't spend money we don't have. And I appreciate all of your efforts. All the department heads and everybody that are associated with this, their efforts toward that goal. So thank you so much. Good document. I think we're Hearing no other questions or concerns, we'll move to adjourn the COW. Can I hear
move
a motion?
To adjourn.
Okay, second. All righty.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Great, super. Well, got a couple minutes and take 5 minutes and we'll start our board meeting.